At the end of last week's show, I played a bit of the disaster from the oil spill in Michigan near Kalamazoo River, and the one advocate and activist that is working to try and show the public how much damage Enbridge oil spill really caused.
Communication breakdown. Pause for the message. Wake up. Every station is a gentrification. Global syndication is the shaping of the nation. So do we even know who plants the seeds? You think the media works for you, but it's a job for them. They're just selling fruit.
The other side of the news.
Ignorance grows on the spirit like a tumor. Till freedom is a rumor.
John's background, he worked with the XL pipeline, and he was a part of the union. That's why he was hired, because he lived in Battle Creek, Michigan, and knew about what to do with pipelines. He knows what they're made of. He knows what to do to clean them up. When Bolin Ball was told that due to time restraints, Enbridge was not going to clean and remove the oil, but instead was starting to cover it up, he decided to be a whistleblower. A decision that has seen him lose his job, his home, his savings, and given him four threats on his life, some actual attacks. He tripped over how Enbridge was hiding the tar oil. After seeing that and knowing what he knows, in a good conscience, he picked up a video camera and started to record the devastation.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show and doing this. And I'd also like to thank you for doing what you do.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
So we're speaking with John Bolinbaugh, and where is it that you live, John?
I live in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Okay. And when did that spill take place?
The spill took place July 23rd, 2010, but Enbridge is saying that they're reporting that the spill happened July 26th.
Right. Now, how was it verified that it was actually the 23rd?
I did an investigation. The actual investigation by the government has not came out yet, but it will bring out the same facts, because the residents smelled oil in the air on Friday the 23rd, and the same guy that smelled it on that night, which there was an entire restaurant and a golf course, everybody smelled it, but the guy that called 911 on Sunday night, which is the report by Enbridge, saying that that's when it happened, when the guy called 911.
Okay.
Guy smelled it 2 days before that.
They're saying it was 840,000 gallons. That's more than a million gallons, and it leaked out of a pipeline how far away from the Sarnia refinery?
I'm not sure how far away it was from the refinery, but the EPA just released documents stating that 1.1 million gallons have already been retrieved, not counting the probably half a million gallons that's still in the river. So Enbridge underestimated or lied to the public about how much actually spilled by several hundred thousand.
And just to remind the listeners, we're talking about the pipeline burst and the oil spill through Enbridge's pipelines in July of 2010. And the news that we got up here in Canada was that it was not getting into the Kalamazoo River, and then news sort of dried up, and our mainstream, our main outlets for news, actually reported that all the oil was stopped, the leak was stopped, everything was cleaned up. But you found out differently, and how did you find that out?
I was a worker. I had no idea that they said that. 40 miles of Kalamazoo River is completely full of oil. It killed every single fish and thousands of animals that were alongside the river.
So how did they approach you, or how did you approach them, to be a cleanup crew?
Well, I'm in the union here in town, and I actually worked on the Trans-Canada Keystone Pipeline a few years ago.
That's good.
And my entire family works for oil companies. And they're not too happy about what I'm doing, even though they support what I'm doing and they love me dearly. Their jobs are at risk and their livelihood. I've been overlooked for every oil union job that there is in the last year and a half since I was fired.
Well, this is because of the work you've been doing. But when you were first hired on to clean up, what did you notice and what made you change your mind and become, let's say, the camera vigilante of this spill?
Well, what happened was, I was the Enbridge put me in charge of a yard. It was the largest yard that we had for the spill. I had about 7 companies and 100 guys underneath me, and I was called a yard boss. Then they brought an Enbridge guy down to take my place, and I trained him. When I was done training him, I switched over to a company called SET Environmental, which was a subcontractor for Enbridge. And we just started cleaning up the oil manually, shovelfuls at a time, putting them in garbage bags and taking them to the wherever they were, to landfills. I'm not really sure where they were taking them. That's another investigation right there. But we had a coordinator tell us to start covering it up because we had time restraints and we weren't being able to meet those. So they were telling us to put dirt over it. They were telling us to take shovelfuls and throw it in the woods. There was areas that were obvious oil they told us not to even touch. And since then, grass has grown over the top of it, and it's still there. And I've proved it's there with my videos. So I started documenting the oil spill at that time. I knew it was illegal what they were doing, and I was sick to my stomach at night watching this. We had a meeting, actually, and in the meeting, our head foreman told us if it bothered our conscience, we did not have to cover up oil. But if we were okay doing it, we could.
I can't even believe him saying that. Battle Creek, I'm sorry, so that's where you were working?
Yep, that's where all the cereals from in the United States and most of the world. Kellogg's, General Mills Post.
Oh, wow.
My ancestor was the first mayor of my town back in 1859, so I kind of feel a responsibility to, you know, get the word out and get this cleaned up properly.
And you also posted quite a few interesting videos that I hope a lot of people go and watch because it's very telling. One of the ones that startled me was the sight of a fellow, I don't know if he's a relative of yours, but he was having what looked like an epileptic fit.
Yes, we have over a dozen that I've documented, not counting all the people I haven't talked to. A lot of people have gag orders.
Right.
Enbridge, when somebody's sick, Enbridge will give them money real quick. They will get them to sign documents saying that they're not allowed to talk about their health. They're not allowed to talk bad about any oil company or any affiliation to any oil companies. So I have a lot of people I've talked to that I cannot videotape because they're afraid that Enbridge will sue them. But the people I have contacted and got video of, they have had seizures. Some have had comas. We've had 7 people in one trailer park die, not counting other areas of the river. But this area was surrounded 3 sides by the river. So the fumes, and it's in a low area, the fumes are really bad there. And a lot of people are getting sick and have been passing away in the last year. The year before the spill, nobody died.
Nobody was
sick. A year
sick.
After the spill, 7 people have died.
Now, there hasn't been a health investigation into those people's situation.
Well, because the health department says that you can't prove that the sickness is from the oil. But if you look at the MSDS sheet from Enbridge, it specifically says that it will cause seizures, coma, death, liver problems, kidney problems, eyesight, hearing, asthma, lung problems, respiratory, spinal, I mean, some rashes, diarrhea, so many things.
From what component in that tar oil did Enbridge say would do all this? What did they call it?
Benzene does a lot of it,
benzene.
Toluene. There are several chemicals that just in the oil itself, the tar sand oil, which it's about 82% more toxic, according to the EPA, than normal crude oil, there's about 20-some chemicals in it. And 5 or 6 of them are super toxic. Hexane, toluene, benzene, and hydrogen sulfide. Those 4 are really super bad for you. Now, this is another problem. There's a trade secret chemical or mix of chemicals that actually push the oil through the pipe. And the reason why they have to push it through is because tar sand oil is like sandpaper. It's just like asphalt before they put it on the road when it's nice and hot. And they have to thin it out. So they use all these chemicals and high pressure to push it through the pipe. The problem is it's called a trade secret. And they, by law, do not have to tell us what all these chemicals are. So when there's a spill and we are polluted and the people are breathing these chemicals in, they don't have to tell us what they are. So we really don't know how bad it is. And I feel really sick to my stomach thinking about all the chemicals I breathed in all that time. And the company just lies to us and tells us everything's fine, when I know that I don't feel good, and I know that I've got memory loss and migraines, and I'm tired all the time, and who knows what's going to happen 10 years from now.
Well, you went out with a video camera, and one of the first videos I saw that was very impressive is the one where you put the shovel into what looked like a clear creek, nice sandy stream bottom, and just digging underneath that, you brought up all this thick, gooey, gobby oil.
Yes. And the sad thing is, I found out by accident. I knew that oil was buried. I knew that it wasn't being cleaned up properly in several areas. But I had no idea that Enbridge was going to put nice, clean sand over the top of oil inside the creeks and in the river to basically make it look good from a distance. Mm-hmm. But yes, when you would dig down 6 inches to a foot, the oil was underneath what I thought at one time was just nice clean sand. The creek was completely full. Now, Enbridge signed off on this area. It's a 2-mile creek that went into a Kalamazoo River that was polluted 40 miles long. Now, we believe it went all the way to Lake Michigan. And the reason why we believe that is because we had a large amount of fish found dead after the spill in Lake Michigan, where Kalamazoo River goes into Lake Michigan. So we have some evidence that it did reach it. And I'm just making these videos trying to do something about it. I'm trying to get I've never accepted any money for this.
A lot of harassment, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I've had 4 death threats now. I've had my brakes cut twice or messed with twice. I've had 4 slashed tires. I have a scar over my head, on my head, because I got hit by a worker. And I've been assaulted by workers. One worker actually said, he's a foreman, and he said he's got more money than I can sue for while he's assaulting me. Now, I won a national title in wrestling, and I'm pretty good at defending myself, but what I have learned is just turn my video camera on when this stuff is happening, because it doesn't do me any good to fight back unless my life is in danger. I need to get video because I need to prove what these guys are doing.
You've got a lot of videos on YouTube. Are they staying up on YouTube, or have you been asked to take some down?
No, I've never. YouTube has contacted me because the oil companies have actually attempted to try to take me off. They've actually closed my Facebook accounts down before, but YouTube said that they're going to leave them up. I've actually had Enbridge workers or subcontractors make videos in retaliation against me, making up lies. I have an honorable discharge from the military. I have a Bronze Star. You know, I worked on the Keystone Pipeline. They really just lied in some of their videos. So I contacted YouTube, and YouTube actually took them off. I really am proud that I am a part of YouTube, because it is the only way to get the word out nowadays if you're not mainstream media.
Yes, and a lot of mainstream media, as I said, 2 of our major companies up here for news in Canada had the same report, and I'm sure they said it because they got it directly from Enbridge. And of course, Enbridge is going to say, oh, we've got it all, there's nothing left. But I wrote to both of these media outlets saying, no, you were wrong then and you're wrong now. And, you know, here's the places that you can go and look to see for yourself how wrong you are. You talked to a lot of people that live down there, did a lot of man-in-the-street interviews. I watched as they progressed along. The minute they see you, what do they do to you? What do they try and do? What happens when you're down there with a doctor or of ecology or something, or a resident just talking about what's going on and videotaping it?
Well, people are... See, some of these chemicals actually say it takes a year before you actually get sick from it, before you see effects from the sickness. So a lot of these people at the beginning were waiting to get paid by Enbridge. They were expecting money. They felt fine. They had headaches and diarrhea and the basic stuff. But they didn't realize this poison in their body stays there, and it causes cancer in the future and other sicknesses and illnesses.
Right.
And so I've actually had doctors from the Gulf come, and Ricky Ott from the Valdez oil spill, one of the top oil chemical, I'm not sure what you would call her. She's an activist and a doctor, a biologist. Very, very smart and intelligent, and I'm very proud to be her friend.
I've heard of her. I've seen her on some of the alternative news outlets speaking.
Yes, and she, out of her own money, you know, out of her pocket, she actually came here two different times to tell the residents that what Enbridge is telling you and the EPA is telling you are lies.
Why did she do that? Did you contact her, or she just show up?
She saw my videos. People all around the world are seeing these. More than, like, I might only have 100 or 500 views on some of my videos, but what happens is somebody that has a website or a news organization, they will copy it, paste it on their website. So I'm on 75 to 100 websites, and then you have all the viewers that see those websites. Then I'm on all the Facebooks, hundreds of thousands of Facebooks around the country and the world. And I really don't know how big this is getting. I just know this is grassroots, and I am very, very happy to spend every waking moment telling even one person about it, because that one person might be able to help us down the road or know somebody that could help us.
Right, which is one of the places my webpage has now. Now has a link to your videos, and whoever goes to that webpage will see your videos and a link to more of them. I was just doing research on the Michigan spill because I like to, as the new year starts, go back and follow up shows I've done before, and that's how I saw your video. And the first one, of course, was that rather graphic one of the person that was being in some sort of seizure, and that was really moving. You know, it makes you think.
It moved me. I mean, I've never seen a seizure before, and to stand right there and you're helpless and you don't know what to do, and you know that they're... The one gentleman, he has actually had seizures before, but they were nothing like what they are now. What happens is the people that actually pass away and get sick the fastest are the people that had illnesses before, or their immune systems are bad, or they're older, or children. And the reason why they get sick sooner is because we have so much poison in our body through our lifetime. And it takes time for our body to fill up where we actually get sick from it. And if you already have your body three-quarters of the way full because you're an older person, you've had all these chemicals in your body from eating different things and drinking, you know, anything, toothpaste, just fluoride, different things through your lifetime, all of a sudden when something like this happens, it really kicks in quick, and that's why they get sick so much faster. A lot of these workers are going to die 10, 20 years before their time. If you go to the Valdez oil spill, out of 11,000 workers, 6,000 of them got sick from this, and several of those have died in the last 20 years.
So let's get back to the danger that you find yourself in just doing this, videotaping and posting up to the rest of the world what actually had happened down there in the Michigan area.
Well, Enbridge, and I'm not talking about subcontractors, I'm talking about actual Enbridge head safety guy and some of his workers blocked me, a girl that just graduated from college in freshwater, which is one of the few in the United States, and a future Marine. They were in my vehicle, and we went out, and we just videotaped from the edge of the cleanup process, and Enbridge actually trapped us into a parking lot for over 20 minutes. And then the same guy that did that, he actually followed me the next day. And on another day with a reporter, I had another truck follow me from one county to another, and that reporter is Ted Genoway from On Earth, and he is writing, he spent the last 2 months investigating this documenting what I've been doing in my videos, and he's coming out with an article at the end of January, and I'm very excited to read that.
So it is going to be moving along through different media patterns, but I'm more concerned about how much longer you can do this and how many threats you've already had being hit with a baseball bat. Yeah, you show videos where you've taken people out and you're videotaping them, videotaping you, and you're just talking about what had happened to the wildlife and the ecosystem. I mean, how many assaults did you get? How many attacks have been done to you? You said four of one and four of another.
Well, the four death threats are either on the phone or by text, and one was in writing. And I have a witness to one, that actually heard the death threat. The other, one of them was a text saying, because I have a whistleblower lawsuit. That is when you report illegal activity to the government and you're fired by the company for it. And Enbridge fired me the day after I reported the cover-up to Enbridge. That I went to EPA in the press, and I was going to go to them again. So now a judge for this whistleblower lawsuit has actually sent it to a jury trial because he said there is evidence that I was wrongfully fired because I reported an oil cover-up. And so all this harassment that I'm getting, which is mostly from, like, if I go out with my friends, I get harassed at the local taverns anytime workers are there because there's several hundred workers in my town. So now I've been going out of town. It's sad that the town says I'm a local hero, but I can't even go to my local taverns because there's so many workers that just won't leave me or any of my friends alone anytime we show up at a tavern. So,
why do you think that the workers are harassing you? What's in it for them to harass you?
Because the company has been lying. I've actually got security guys and people that have approached me saying that Enbridge has actually had meetings about me trying to discredit me. They make up lies about me that now a lot of the workers recently have found out were not true. And that had actually, you know, their impression of me at first was that I was a bad person, I was a disgruntled worker, and I was trying to stop and hinder the cleanup process and make them look bad. Now a lot of them have actually changed their opinion of me because they do watch my videos, and they have found out, you know, that I do have an honorable discharge, which the company lied and said I didn't. And a lot of them were saying that I was lying about working on the Keystone Pipeline, and I proved that was true, and different things like that. I mean, they just, these companies, they don't know what to do when somebody comes forward and makes complaints. So all they can do is just try to discredit them. And I, the first time I ever came forward to bring up the oil cover-up in the public eye, I actually told them everything about my past, anything I've ever done in my life. So that way it was out in the open right off the bat.
From you first.
And Enbridge couldn't use that against me to hurt my cause of trying to get awareness and education to these residents about what's going on.
Who have you contacted just to talk or your videos as far as government and big press?
Well, I just had a meeting with Bloomberg Magazine. They actually came out to the river, and they haven't made that put that article out there yet. I went to Chicago also and met with them. I've talked to New York Times, 60 Minutes. It's just, it seems like they're waiting for somebody to, you know, like some big organization to come forward. And once some big news organization comes forward, I think a lot of them are going to follow. But
sure,
people just don't want to go against these oil companies, kind of like BP.
Well,
BP has all these ads about how great New Orleans and Louisiana and Alabama and everywhere in the Gulf is, when the truth is, I wouldn't eat the shrimp and fish down there because they actually raised the acceptable toxic levels by 10 times in the seafood down there. So the seafood there is allowed 10 times more toxic chemicals in their body than what is allowed in California.
They do that kind of stuff here, too. They go in, our Prime Minister Stephen Harper, he signed out of Kyoto. He says he's got a great economy. He's the one that's selling this tar oil. He keeps promising jobs. He does a lot of cover-ups himself. Don't just need the oil companies to do the cover-ups. Our own prime minister is quite good at it. He will not talk to the press. He will not take meetings. He's unapproachable. This is the problem we've been having in Canada, trying to expose what these pipelines are really like, that the pipes really can't take this tar oil. As you explained, they do rot and rust through, and they've been putting them up in the Northwest Territories with those low temperatures, and they've had lots of spills up there from Enbridge that aren't reported. The only way you can find it out is to go through independents or, like yourself, find somebody like yourself that has the bravery to go out and videotape it. You show it, talk to people directly, get their commentary on what their life has been like and how some of that trailer park is pretty much no good to live in.
They just don't have the money to move. I feel so sorry for them.
Well, and they're not getting any financial help, are they?
No, they're not.
I don't know why.
They're not getting any medical bills paid for. Their future health, no matter what happens, they're not getting in. Enbridge already said they're not going to help them with that.
I wonder why that they don't help those people in that trailer park.
Well, they don't help them all along the 40-mile river. They only picked and choose who they help. Like several apartment buildings, you'd have 160 different units, but they only would give money and help 8 different units.
Wonder why.
Actually, everybody's in shock. We don't understand why.
It's a good question to get an answer to. There must be some reason, either it's public relations or I don't know, but it would be good.
They give a lot of money to charities here, and they've built 3 parks for kids right on the river, which disgust all of us because...
Right, I read that.
Yeah, it's horrible. Why would you build a park on the river that's polluted? And it's going to be polluted for the next 10 years at least.
I don't know how long that tar oil will take before it is no longer a threat to drinking water or wildlife.
The problem is that, see, people don't understand this type of oil. Normal crude oil floats on water, and you can absorb it with boom and different materials and skimmers. But the problem with tar sand oil is it's heavier than water. So it's actually at the bottom of the river floating on, or running along the bottom. And you can't get it out of there. The only way to do that is to dam the whole thing off, suck all the water out, and dig it out. It would cost billions and billions of dollars, and they're not going to do that. So it's just going to sit at the bottom of the river for years and years. And the MSDS sheet says if you swallow even small quantities, it can cause death. So when kids get in there and it looks nice and they start stirring the mud up, which is mixed with the oil, and sheen pops up and they get it in their eyes and their mouth, they're going to get sick from this. And there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, it's permanently in your body once it gets in your body.
Yes. And another thing, Enbridge has called the cops on me at least 20 times.
Why?
I've had the cops show up 7 times.
For doing what exactly?
And what reason do you have to send helicopters out circling me and reporters, calling the cops to scare me away, when all I've ever been accused of is videotaping the oil process?
Yeah, I saw that video. That surprised me. You were out there with media, and yet, the helicopter swoops in and a boat comes out from nowhere and various trucks show up from out of nowhere.
They did this several times. But they don't want nobody videotaping anything because they don't want any evidence at trials or court proceedings or in the public eye through news that what they are doing is illegal. I actually just videotaped an area that I complained. Remember the video where you saw me find oil underneath the sand?
Right.
Called Talmadge Creek. Well, that same area, I went out there after I made complaints, and now they're digging the whole 2-mile stretch of creek back up, 4 to 5 foot deep, 40 to 30 foot wide. I mean, just huge amounts that they're redigging out after they planted grass over it and left it for over a year, just sitting there like that. And they're digging it up because of me. Well, I went out there to videotape that, and I got it on tape, and that's some of the best footage I've ever had. But now they have charged me with trespassing. I actually have to go to court, and I'm probably going to do 30 days in jail because I tape recorded an oil cover-up. And the law in Michigan says that I cannot use any video if I received it while I was committing a crime of trespassing. So I can never make a movie or any videos down the road that use this video of this huge hole where they dug it out. So right now I'm hoping everybody, I have it on YouTube right now, and it says 100% proof oil, Enbridge covered up oil. And I'm hoping everybody spreads it around as much as possible, because it's possible when I am found guilty and I do my 30 days in jail, that they're going to make that illegal to use and for me.
Well, in
and
Michigan,
hopefully it'll be out
like
there.
You say, it won't stop somebody else from making use of it.
Right, and they can. I just can't do it, according to the law. But I really don't care about jail time. I am doing the right thing, and it's going to go down in history that somebody stood up to these guys. And I don't like bullies. I've never liked bullies since I was bullied when I was in elementary and junior high, and I wrestled in high school. And it's actually followed me through my lifetime that anybody that I feel is being mistreated, I will go against that bully.
Well, you're
and
perfect
Enbridge
for,
is the bully here.
You're perfect for alternative and independent media then. We need more people like you out there. Now, I know some people are probably very appreciative of what you're doing. Maybe some people are scared to talk to you, and I'm wondering why aren't there more people doing what you're doing?
For one, I made $2,300 a week, and I lost my job. I lost my career, which I can never work for an oil company again, so there goes $100,000 a year that's gone. Then my family has not been hired or worked any major jobs since I was fired. So then it ruins their family's careers. And then you have the harassment. I actually thought I would be dead by now.
I'm surprised you're not.
I really never imagined that. I think what protected me so far is that I made the videos public right off the bat.
I think you should have somebody watching your back.
I do. Every time I go out to the river now, I always have at least one security guy with me, or sometimes two or three. And I always have two cameras rolling. I try to get as much footage as I can, because recently, after I was arrested for trespassing, I actually went to the head of the police station and I said, listen, I'm just trying to videotape them covering up this oil and digging it back out. And he actually said that I could go videotape as long as I wasn't on Enbridge property. Now, this is the first time that any police station has actually allowed you from the road to videotape, because in the past, Enbridge would say that you are hindering their cleanup process or it's unsafe for you to be in the area. And so I went out to Enbridge site where they were cleaning it up, and I videotaped from the road because they were close enough I could get some good video. And actually, Enbridge called the cops. Two different cop cars showed up. I talked to the cops, told them what the head detective said, and they went up to Enbridge, and Enbridge was complaining about it, and they told Enbridge that I could stay and videotape, and there's nothing that they could do about it because I'm on the side of the road, and I'm not on Enbridge property. And Enbridge didn't know what to do. They complained and complained and complained, and the police just left. People are starting to change their opinion of what's going on. I'm not a disgruntled worker. I was fired for one reason, and that was because I reported an oil cover-up to the EPA and to the press. Period. That's the only reason I was fired.
Okay.
And I can't wait for a jury to see this. I will never accept a settlement. I don't care if it's for millions of dollars. I am going to trial. A jury is going to see this, and I'm going to have all these workers testify that we were told to cover up and bury oil, and truth will come out.
Do you think you will have other people as witnesses for you that will step forward then when you're in court?
Well, thank God when I did my depositions for my court case, because this is the only way you can get people to tell the truth. I told some of them that I had them on video telling me about, you know, about the oil cover-up and stuff. So when they came to depositions, they thought in their head that it was possible I might have a videotape of them talking about it.
Sure.
So Four of them did not tell the whole truth. One of them told 90% of the truth, and his name is Dave Hoekstra. And his dad is actually a big guy in the company, and he actually told the truth, mostly, that we were told that if it bothered our conscience, we didn't have to cover up oil, and that we were told to spread oil around and not clean it up properly. And so because of his testimony, now it's gonna snowball, because now my attorney at trial will tell another guy when he testifies, this is what the foreman said. He said, you were standing right next to him. Are you calling this foreman a liar? And this will make these workers come forward and tell the truth. And if they're fired after that, then they have a lawsuit also.
Well, I'm sure they'll still be quite frightened.
Well, they are frightened. I'm frightened myself, but I'm not going to live in fear, and I'm not going to not go out to the river because I'm afraid. Somebody's got to do this, and I'm very proud of myself for having enough guts to do this, because it is very stressful, very hard, and I've spent every dime I got doing this, and video SD cards and travel expenses to tell people about this and copies. I've sold my motorcycle that I loved very much. I've sold my pull-behind trailer that was very expensive. And this is all in the effort to educate the people around here and around the country. I've actually ripped up recently a $2,500 check that I was given to by an attorney, Michael Bryant, because he was rude to people, and he was only in this for the money. And he handed me a $2,500 check saying, I want you to help me solicit clients for my lawsuit. And I ripped up the check that night, and I told him, I will help you for free as long as you are good to these people. I am not in this to make any money, and I just hope that I can make a difference in the world. And I hope that when there's another oil spill, which there was 7 or 8 just in the last year alone, that people will know from my videos to evacuate, to get your children out of there, to go to the hospital and get tested, to not accept small amounts of money from these companies, because they will try to get you to sign off your medical rights for $250 or for an air purifier. They try to sneak the wording in at the bottom and just say, here's an air purifier, sign this piece of paper that you received it.
Oh,
but at the bottom it will say that you waive all your rights.
Of course. When is your court date, John?
My court date is on January 10th, and I will go for a pretrial. I've already actually told him I wanted to waive it, but the judge wouldn't allow me to, because the judge does not want to go to trial for a few days over a trespassing charge. But I'm going to force him to. They're going to offer me probably a $50 fine if I plead guilty. I will not plead guilty, and I am going to trial. And I need the news, you know, to get this information. So maybe me doing 30 days in jail, maybe people will become aware of this situation. Maybe it'll go national. And I'm willing to sacrifice that. I'm willing to do that for the cause.
So many questions running through my mind. I did ask you, had you contacted government officials? How far did you get? Who did you contact?
I contacted several EPA and DNR guys while I was working. I would walk up to them and make complaints that it wasn't getting cleaned up properly. And sometimes they would actually make the Enbridge officials get more workers to clean it up properly before they planted grass over the top of it. But I also had the EPA tell me that there was nothing they could do about some areas because their bosses told them not to worry about. They say they're not part of it, but when they sign a document, three different EPA guys saying that this area is clean, and then I prove it's not, and then they redig the whole thing back out, that is proof that those three guys that signed that document didn't do their job properly.
Yeah, so there's another aspect to look at. This is Environmental Protection Agency. It's a federal agency.
And Enbridge caters in all their food for them.
Oh, wow.
They take them out to strip clubs, to the bars. They buy their drinks. They become their friends.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're not supposed to, they still do it. And that's why they get some of these EPA guys to turn their head and not do the right thing.
How many other government people have you approached?
Well, I've went to senators in my state, Stabenow. I just had a meeting with Senator Stabenow. I've met with Congressman Schauer when he was in office. I've met with all the commissioners and in my area, city and county. I've been to several of their meetings. I've had commissioner come out to the river with me. I've got one commissioner on video saying that what I am doing is like Martin Luther King, and not to give up and not to stop, and what I'm doing is a great job. And that really felt good to hear that, because to have somebody that has some authority around here back you up really validates, you know, I'm going to do it anyways, but people might not believe what's going on. They get an actual official that's been to all the Enbridge and EPA meetings and knows what's going on, and they say that I am making a difference. It helps stay in the honesty.
So senators and congressmen, are they talking about it in government? Are they doing anything about it?
They are not doing anything about it, no. They leave it up to the EPA. Mm. That's what the commissioners and the city and the health department and most of these people do. They turn to the EPA and say, EPA is in charge of it, we trust them, and we're not going to do anything about it. We're not going to go against the EPA.
Did any of these governmental officials see your video of the people having epileptic fits and some of this stuff?
Oh, yeah. Commissioner Todd has. Commissioner Hodgman has been to a few meetings. I don't know how big it's got. I've actually sent some videotapes to different people. But a lot of people at Enbridge and these oil companies in the last 10 years have gave $42 million to these politicians.
Right.
And they are not going to speak against them when they're getting $50,000 a year donated to them.
You should be talking to Michael Moore.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I probably should talk to Michael Moore. I've actually had a couple, the guy that just did Gasland, Josh Fox, he's contacted me. I've had the guy that made The Cove, which won an Academy Award, Louis, he contacted me. And they're talking about doing, you know, a short film about this.
Documentary, yeah, that'd be good.
It would be good, yes, but I think that maybe I'm learning how to edit right now. I'm trying to get better. And I'm actually making a video for the Enbridge pipeline hearings in Canada.
Good.
I've spent the last 2 weeks nonstop trying to make a decent video for the parliament to see.
Were you asked to do that? Or is this something you're just taking on yourself?
I actually had Randy. I can't remember how to say his name. But he's a retired politician in Canada. I think his last name is Hayka or something like that. I can't remember.
We'll check him out.
But he seems like a really great guy. He actually asked for a two-hour video. And he's making his own video up just in case the mail doesn't work out properly, so he has a backup. But he wants to actually show one of my videos to the parliament.
So he contacted you?
Yes, he contacted me. He said a week prior, which was about 3 weeks ago, he saw one of my videos through a friend, and he said this is the only documentation of a tar sand spill there is in North America.
Yeah, because you can't get near the other ones. They wire it off and they have guards. So,
and I sneak through those guards. I've actually spent hours crawling on my hands and knees through tall, you know, razor grass that cut the heck out of me, sweating profusely for hours just to get 30 seconds of footage. Because they have security guards everywhere.
Well, the more public you are, and the more you have public around you, the safer you will be. You always have to have a camera running. I'm very worried about what may happen to you because of these videos. I just am thankful you made them. I'm glad that you have the knowledge you do from working on pipelines before. I like the fact that you explain what this tar oil does to the piping, that it actually eats through it.
Another thing that these companies, when they have tar sand oil, they do not want to have any turns, because What they will do is try to have straight lines, and even if it goes under a river or lake, they will try to, that's their attempt to do that. And the reason why they do that, even though they should never be next to water, they should never be within a mile of any water source, ever. That's my opinion.
I
don't want these pipelines, but worst case scenario, if they do, they need different regulations, and they need the pipe to be built at least a mile from any water sources.
Yeah, and they only have it about 4 feet deep, so anybody could dig into it and damage it like they did in a small town in British Columbia here in Canada.
That is true. And they also, the reason why they don't want any turns is because whenever you have a turn or an elbow, this tar sand oil, as I said, is very corrosive and it's like sandpaper. And over the years, it doesn't. For one, this pipe is from China. A lot of the metal is from different countries. If Enbridge really wanted to help America or Canada with jobs, they would buy the pipe from their own country to create all those jobs.
Are they made out of steel? Do you know, John?
Yes, they're made out of steel, and they come mostly from China.
I'm glad to hear that. We've got a steel company here in Canada that was in Hamilton, Ontario, that was Stelco, known for years. We've been known for years as a steel town. We have some of the biggest ovens in the steelmaking business. U.S. Steel bought Stelco out and fired all the workers.
Oh, that's too bad. I
was just talking to somebody that does policy alternatives, watchdogs for the government, and he's talking about the growing gap of income and the 99% occupation protests that are going on, and he explains how these businesses are conducted and flipped only for profit and has nothing to do with making a quality product. U.S. Steel came in and bought out a Canadian-owned company and said that they would do all kinds of things and all kinds of agreements for the workers, and they just turned around and did what they wanted.
Well, so, yeah, and that's what these companies do. They actually, just like Enbridge and TransCanada, they say that they're going to have all these regulations for the pipe, but they won't sign any documents saying that it's going to be a contract. They say, well, you know, just approve it, and then we'll change it.
Yeah.
They don't want any documentation saying that they're really going to do it through a contract, because then they're held to that. And can you do me a favor?
Sure.
Can you have your listeners write down my name?
Sure.
I'm going to spell out my name so everybody knows it. And I would like you to go to YouTube. And this is how I know that you're actually, listening to the and watching these videos. Because if you leave a message, I actually get an email saying what your message is. And whenever I get comments, it really brightens my day. You know, the stress that I go through and what I'm going through, it really brightens my day to get messages.
It helps you keep going.
From people saying that they've watched us.
Well, we'll find out how many people actually listen to the show, too, won't we?
Right, and it will help. So if anybody out there that's listening can write down, get a pen and paper, and watch some of these videos and leave a message, say you're from Canada, and just give me your opinion on what you feel about this. It would really help me gauge, you know, what I can do better with different videos. There's several videos that I haven't even edited yet. I have a lot of footage that I need to get out there. I've just been so busy with everything. And
well, just make sure that every time you're out there, somebody's videotaping you.
Yes, and that does protect me when I have somebody on the side videotaping
live
what I'm
TV
doing.
Wouldn't hurt either. Internet TV, there's a lot of those around. You might want to find out more about that process.
Maybe that's a great idea, too, so
you.
That could be live when I'm out there.
Oh, sure. There are some news places popping up, and everybody's asking for money, but it's live satellite podcasting, and that would be helpful. I don't know.
Okay, this is how you spell my last name. My first name is J-O-H-N, John, and my last name is B as in boy, O-L-E-N, B as in boy, A-U-G-H, B-O-L-E-N-B-A-U-G-H.
Bolenbaum.
Yes, and just, you know.
Just doing a search under Michigan tar oil spill. And that's how I came across him. because the way you've linked it up below, it's easy enough to find, but people will find it with your name for sure. And that's on YouTube, folks. There's a lot of videos there. One or two of them are pretty disturbing to look at. But this is the reality of what tar oil does everywhere it goes. There's no guarantee anything's safe when they're shoving this stuff across the countryside in a pipe. This is not a really proven science. In fact, it's been proven to be not a good idea. The same as fracking is not a good idea. People need to find out on their own through independent news, and there's a lot of them out there. YouTube is one of the best places to stop off and look. Vimeo is another place. We need independent reporters like John is, and that's what you are. John is an independent reporter.
When I get some extra money, I'm actually going to, I want to make a website, and it'll be under johnbolenbaugh.org. I already got the domain. I have made up some T-shirts, and my goal is to make this website so that way maybe I can sell a few T-shirts here and there and get gas money.
Get some of the costs covered. Yes, there's other ways you can go. I've sent you links. I'm going to send you some more links for people in Canada, organizations in Canada that may help once they start to see your videos and realize what you're looking at and trying to do. And it really would be excellent if we can get you up here in Canada to try and convince people like our prime minister, or, you know, that what he's doing is so wrong, and he's removing guidelines and he's removing laws and barriers in our federal environmental laws just so he can sell his dirty tar oil. Canadians don't want it. They don't want this deal. They don't want that tar. You know, he's really not listening to the Canadians. I want Americans to know that, you know.
He is killing residents.
He's killing the planet.
Yes, and killing the planet. I mean, what he is, see, these corporations, in the United States, they actually made corporations a person.
Yeah, chapter 11.
So they had the equal rights of a person.
NAFTA, I talk about that all the time. People should read the NAFTA rules, chapter 11, chapter 8. These are the ones that say what you just said, making a corporation a human entity that has more rights than a natural human being has rights. That's how they'd make deals out of that.
But when they kill somebody by accident, which a normal person would get manslaughter and go to prison,
right?
They don't get charged with any crimes.
Yeah,
and if they do, it's a misdemeanor and they give them probation.
Well, that's right. They get off the hook because they've got the money to buy the lawyers to argue their way. And they basically wait out whoever's trying to get after them, including our government, because they've got more money than our government does. You know, so you hire enough lawyers and keep them busy. The lawsuit gets dropped because it's the taxpayers paying for our government to fight these corporations.
That's true. And this is how bad Enbridge is. Enbridge actually told all of us that they were going to clean this up equal or better as what it was before.
Yeah, they can't do it better. And you know that's a lie right off the top.
Yes, I do know it's a lie. And then they also said that they're going to take care of all the residents and they're going to help everybody.
Yeah.
Well, now in court, they are actually... they have their attorneys saying that it is not their fault that the pipe broke. So they do not have to pay anybody what they deserve or need.
There's a lot of guys studying environmentalism and environmental laws in school right now, not because they want to help the environment, but because they want to find ways to get around it for the corporations to do exactly what you just said. A big light has to be shone on them. They have to be exposed for what they are, and they had to be made accountable. And I want to thank you for your time today. I'm going to try and track your story because I want to make sure you're still here. I want to find out what happened during the court date, and I'll try and do as much as I can to get your message around and get it across to the independent networks, and there's a lot of them.
Well, you're more than welcome to give my email or phone number out to anybody.
Okay, John.
I'm an open book.
Well, you got to be careful, too. You got to make sure you're a little bit...
Well, I figure if people harass me, I'll just turn on my video camera and we can... And the world can hear the harassment. So even when people harass me, it actually is good video when it comes to showing what happens when you tell the truth. I'm willing to let people do that.
Can I ask you one thing we didn't get to? When you said you were cracked on the head and you got a video showing your head was split open, what happened there? How did that happen?
I had the reporters out where you saw with the helicopter. That was the same exact day. And I was out with the reporters. I told the police that I was going to another area. The reporters had to get on their on the flight in Kalamazoo. And so I said bye to them, and I went to the other area, and I was already warned if I go there, I'm going to get a trespassing. But I had to get the video. I had to see what's going on. And so I hid my truck, and I walked out there, and there was actually a worker hiding behind a tree. I never saw him until I looked up because I got hit over the head with something, and I don't know what it was. It wasn't a baseball bat. I think it was just a log, truth, telling, you know, I don't know. I didn't see it. So, but I do know that I was really dizzy. I couldn't run after the guy. I had a cut on my head. I drove home dizzy, which I probably shouldn't have at the time. And I've documented everything with the police that's ever been going on with me. I didn't document this because I didn't feel it was the right time to get a trespassing charge at that moment.
You should never go alone, ever. That's what somebody taught me. I made the same mistake as you, is going out with a video camera to try and protect somebody, and I got dragged around. Never go alone to any place.
And my mom, she made me promise not to go out to the river by myself, so I always go with somebody.
Well, that's interesting to find out what happened after that videotape, because I was wondering what happened when you were getting closed in on by Enbridge people from all sides blocking you. So you're a brave man. I thank you for this.
And I'm just thankful that people are watching my videos. I want the harassment that I've had to be worth something. I want to make a difference. And if I am, there's been 7 or 8 whistleblowers in the Gulf that have been shot, beat to death, and found that are missing right now. Well, and we're talking about doctors and scientists and big time whistleblowers. I am not going to quit. And if something does happen to me, I want my videos to be spread around the country, and hopefully, you know, it'll be a spark to a change in this world. You know, maybe I can go down in history as making a difference.
Hopefully Obama will see your videos. Maybe that'll make him a little stronger in his standing.
Actually, I think he might have already seen a couple, but I can't promise you that. I just, from what I've been told and what I feel.
Well, you make sure that, you know, if something does happen to you, which I hope nothing does, that there's ways for backup people for you to get to people like me who do alternative and independent news.
I have my video saved on 3 different hard drives and SD cards, and I have them in specific places and hid. So that way, if something does happen to me, then the story can go on, and the videos will be out there.
Those reporters that had to fly away that day, who were they from?
It was from Yes Men. They're against the Gulf oil spill and different chemical spills and different things that happen around the country. It's an organization.
Okay.
I had a lady from the Kindle Project. She's from New Mexico. They were from New York. I had several college students that came from the local colleges around town. And so I took about 6 people out with me. Okay. And if you look on the internet, you will see something. It's called My Hair Cares. And it was actually kind of a hoax where this news organization, which is the Yes Men, actually sent press releases out to everybody that has a hair salon and said that they were collecting hair to clean up future oil spills, because hair actually soaks up oil in large amounts for some reason.
That's good to know.
Well, then, of course, Enbridge and BP and different companies come forward and say it was all a lie, which when they come forward and say it's a lie, that they're not part of this mainstream effort to collect hair to help the environment, it made them look worse, because now they're saying, well, we're not trying to do anything positive to help the environment.
So that's John Bullenball's story, and you can find his videos on YouTube. Just type in, as he said, John, J-O-H-N, Bullenball. It's spelled B-O-L-L-E-N-B-A-U-G-H. LenBaugh. I've been reading some of the EPA reports. They are cleaning up some of the tar oil that is in the soil, but I would still do some research, go to some of the contacts that he mentioned in this show and see what they had to say. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening.
Redefining Radio.
CFRMU.